Welcome back to another episode of Blessed Is She That Believed. This is Stephanie Cooper. I am your host, and I'm excited to be here. This is season 4, episode 13. I titled it Remember Me. And before we get started, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you, Father God, that we can glorify your name and we can praise you, Father God, in every situation, no matter the circumstances, Father God. We don't have to stagger in our faith when it comes to what you have promised us, Father God, because you are faithful to perform that thing that you have promised us, no matter what it is. Father God, let us hold fast to our faith. Let us walk by faith and not by sight, Father God, in every situation, Lord. Lord, I just glorify you and I praise your name. I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for every listener. I thank you for opening everybody's heart and mind to receive your word and to hear your voice. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. So, y'all, I'm trying to do a live on YouTube, so I don't know if it's going to work or not. It's acting really, really weird. So you may hear me click a couple of times. You're going to probably hear me click a couple of times to, because I'm trying to figure out why is this thing not working the correct way. But, yeah. So anyway, hopefully it gets started. If it doesn't, then it doesn't, but hopefully it'll get started. I'm trying to figure out how I can turn this off, too, because, you know, if it's not going to work, it's just not going to work. But anyway, I hope y'all had a great week. Thank you for returning. Thank you for returning to hang out with your girl. I have a microphone stand now. Like, y'all, I'm so excited. Let me tell y'all real quick before we get into it. Y'all, so last year I ordered a microphone stand from Amazon, right? And I couldn't get it to fit my microphone because I have a Razer mini microphone. So it's a mini little stand. It's not a full stand. It's a mini stand. Well, the stand I got from Amazon is the one that clips to the desk. It attaches to the desk. So that way, you know, it's like a real podcast stand, you know. I was like, I feel like I graduated to a real podcast stand. Not that the stand that I was using was bad. I mean, that's what I've been using forever. It's just that trying to, like, I realized I was slouching and leaning over or whatever, trying to make sure that the microphone was picking my voice up, which it does an excellent job. I will say Razer microphones, if you are looking into podcasting or something like that, like pick up a Razer microphone. Like, I love the quality and the sound of it. So you may have heard some popping on the last episode. There was some popping. So I got a new computer. And that was my first episode off of this computer. So it was, I was trying to get things settled and stuff. And I realized, I said, okay, I need to get a microphone cover. So I was like, I might as well go ahead and get a microphone stand. Well, the microphone cover came with the stand. I said, okay, that's a good deal. Well, get the stand, finally attached to the desk today. I was like, I'm going to put the microphone on. And the converter, because it's a double end converter, one that goes into the stand and one that goes onto the microphone. I couldn't get it to fit the microphone. I said, I noticed, because this happened before. This happened before. And I was like, no, this cannot be. Because why is this doing it? You know, like, this makes no sense whatsoever, blah, 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 blah. And, It would not do it. So I was like, okay, don't know what's going on. Well, I I went ahead. I was at Target to pick up an order today, and you probably still hear me clicking because I'm still trying to figure stuff out. I went to Target to pick up my order, and the order, while I was waiting on it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to return that microphone stand and buy another microphone stand. So I put an order in for another microphone stand, which was a little bit more than what I paid, and I was mad about that, but whatever. It's like, because I'm going to get a new microphone stand. So got a microphone stand, and I said, let me return this. So I started a return order on Amazon, and then I wrote a review. And I called the review 0 stars. And I was like, this is not what it was advertised, blah, 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 blah. Y'all got home and tried to do it again. I said, it's got to be something I'm missing. Got to be something I'm missing. Well, there was. Because the other end that was still sticking into the microphone, that part actually is the part that you're supposed to screw off to get to the microphone. And when I did that, it actually fit the microphone stand. Y'all, when I tell you, I was so embarrassed. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, because there was a picture that I did not see on the Amazon post. You had to scroll all the way down. So I did not see this picture. And so when I looked at the picture, I was like, I know you lying. And honestly, you know what, to be honest, no, I did see the picture, but I wasn't looking at the picture. See, sometimes you can see something, but you're not really looking at it. And I did not see that the other side comes off, because the way the microphone looks, it looks like the top part that connects to the actual body of the microphone, it does not look like it comes out at all. And so I actually have 2 microphones, and I did it on both of them. Both of them popped out. I said, I know you lying. Well, boom. So I am using my microphone stand, and I feel like a grown-up now. And yeah. So let me tell you how good God is, though. God didn't allow that review post to go through. It never posted. Because I was trying to take it down, and it never posted. And I was like, thank you, Holy Spirit. So here we are today. I just want to tell you, sometimes you just got to look, make sure you're looking at what you're seeing, because sometimes you could be seeing it and you're not looking at the details. Today's episode is dedicated to all of the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day. And I am more so dedicating this to the women who desire to be mothers, and for whatever reason, it just has not happened. I want to say it has not happened yet, but I do know that there are some circumstances where it is not going to happen. You may have had to have your baby house removed. So I'm being very sensitive when I say, like, for women who desire motherhood, and it has not happened. I can't begin to express how, because I know some people, like, they say, I'm sorry, but it's like, it's really not empathetic or emphatic, however, whatever that word is. I know I'm an English teacher. I can't think of the words right now, but some people just don't understand. Some people just don't understand. And with me being in the situation that I'm in right now, it's like, I know when the Lord does bless me with children of my own, I don't ever want to forget what it was like to be told, we may have to go ahead and pull your uterus out. We may have to go ahead and have that surgery. We may have to go ahead and give you a hysterectomy. I don't ever want to forget what that was like. I want to remember hearing that, because I know that when the Lord does whatever he is going to do in my life, there are going to be times where I get ready to complain, because we have a tendency to pray real hard for something, and then once we get it, then we complain about it. And it's like, what are you doing? You know, like, what are you doing? And I think we forget that. And I think we, it's just human nature. You know, we do whatever we can do to get the thing that we want or that we believe we deserve. But then once we get it, it's like, okay, so what now? Like, oh, now we're tired of it. Now once the thing has worn off, it's not shiny and new anymore, we want to complain about it and we find all of these faults with it and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect at all. I'm not, you know, and I know there'll be times that I would be like, oh my gosh. But I want to remember what it took for me to get to that point, to become a mother. And I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to forget. I just don't want to forget that. Oh, the YouTube is up. Hi, everyone on YouTube who will join whenever you join. My name is Stephanie Cooper, and this is Blessed Is She That Believed, and this is my first live on YouTube, so welcome. Like I'm in church. I already started the podcast, but you're at the beginning. This episode is for the moms, and it's more so geared toward the women who desire motherhood, and for whatever reason, they have not had children. I was just telling, because I'm recording this, so I already went through that. And so like I said, being that I find myself in a situation where it's possible that I couldn't, but see, the thing is about God is that He is the God of the impossible. And with man, it does not look possible, but with God, all things are possible. So I hold on to that. And I know that for women who desire motherhood, women who desire to be married, it's hard. I get it. It's hard, especially in today's age. It's like, where am I? Why am I in the twilight zone? Like, what is happening? The dating pool, look at it. It's been like somebody poured gasoline and hazardous toxins in it and set it on fire. You know, like, but it's a journey. And I don't want to be one of those people who gets on a live or makes posts about, well, this is what single women should be doing. And, oh, you don't have a husband yet. You don't have kids yet because you hadn't been doing the checklist, or you hadn't done this. I don't do that because I'm a single woman. I'm 39. And it's like, you get tired of hearing that. You don't hear that. Like, don't talk to me. Just let me live my life. Don't talk to me about anything like that. But at the same time, you gotta stay in it. You gotta be encouraged. And I know for me, it was like, I don't know. It's like, sometimes it feels like it's never gonna happen. Sometimes it feels like, what did I do wrong? Did I do something? Like, did I rob a bank in a previous life? And I, you know, believe in previous lives, but it's like, what did I do wrong? Did I step on a crack or something? What did I do to be 39 years old and still single with no children, and then being told, oh, you might have to have this done, you might have to have that done, you might have to have this done, this doesn't look too good for you? Like, what did I do? And it's very discouraging. You can become very bitter. You can be resentful. You can look at the people that you know who have children in a different way. And it's not that you're mad at them. You're just wondering why it hasn't happened for you. And it's like it's happening for everybody around you. But at the same time, you have to remember that you are not forgotten. And that's why I titled this Remember Me, because Samuel, the prophet Samuel, his mother really, that's what she prayed. She said, remember me. And that's what we're going to hone in on today. Verse 11 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah is praying, and the situation with Hannah is, you know, it's back in the old times where people had more than one wife. Okay, so the situation with Hannah, and by the way, let me preface this for all my YouTube people. I'm not a Bible scholar. I just like to read, and it just happens to be that I like to read the Bible. And the Bible is, if you like soap operas, you want to stay in that Old Testament because there's a bunch of stuff that pop off there. But I don't have time for that today. But yeah, so Hannah was married to Elkanah, and he had another wife. We don't even concern ourselves with her name. But anyway, the other wife would taunt Hannah. And in verse 6, her adversary, that's Peninnah was Elkanah's other wife. Peninnah, the Bible refers to her as her adversary. But I also think about the verse that says, your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Like, I think about that verse because her is a personal pronoun. Her adversary. That adversary belongs to her. And so that was her own adversary. Everybody has an you have a little demon, little minion from the pits of hell that is assigned to you, assigned to your family. Like, you really do. And so that is your adversary. Yeah, the devil is our adversary. Like, it's a whole network. And people, we really don't realize that. We think it's just the devil with a pitchfork. No. It's a whole network system. Like, that stuff is organized. The spiritual world is whole. It's completely wholly organized, okay? And when I say holy, I don't mean like H-O-L-Y. I mean like W-H-O-L-L-Y. Like, it's complete, put together, organized, structured system. And it, like, works very efficiently, okay? So you have a devil assigned to your family, your bloodline. You like, it goes deep. It runs deep. You need to study it. So anyway, it says in 1 Samuel verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, talking about her husband Elkanah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. It didn't say she was barren. It just said the Lord had shut up her womb. We see in Genesis, when Noah got everybody and everything on the ark, the Lord shut the door. When God shuts something, it don't matter what you do. It is not going to come open until he opens it. So he shut her womb up. But if something has been shut, it can be open. Just know that. Like, it can be open. But it has to be according to God's timing. Because it don't matter. Like, it just, everything has an appointed time. Everything has an appointed time. And it helps me to know that because everything has an appointed time, that an appointment with God, you can't miss it. If you are being obedient, if you're doing what he says do, an appointment with God, you can't miss it. You can't miss the appointment. It's been set before time began. God is time. So it's been set before time began. Like, it's, you're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss it. It's set for an appointed time. So the Lord shut up her womb. And then in verse 6, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord has shut up her womb. Oh my gosh, it's so much in there. It is so much there. So, provoke means voca. It comes from the Latin word to call. The prefix pro, it means to hold an affirmative, like in a debate, or it's a proponent of an issue, in favor of proposition. to give rise, provoke actually means to give rise, like to make somebody angry, basically. It's to get something, it's usually to annoy or to anger. So when you provoke somebody, like you're calling up, you're stirring up something, usually annoyance or anger. So her enemy, her adversary, also provoked her sore, made a real mad for to make her fret. This is all in the King James Version. I love the King James Version, but I am going to flip over to the Amplified because I want to see what it says. Hannah's revival provoked her bitter... Hannah's rival provoked her bitterly to irritate and embarrass her because the Lord had left her childless. It's not that I don't like the other versions. It's just that sometimes, like, he left her child. He didn't, first of all, he didn't leave her. Like, it's the wording. People don't realize that words, that's a whole nother story. But, okay, now, the New Living Translation says, so Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. I like that version better. But notice they say her enemy, her adversary, they actually left the lady's name there. So, but I'll take the Lord had kept her from having children. Okay. And then it says year after year, it was the same Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle because once a year they would go to the tabernacle and do sacrifices. Each time Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Then her husband was like, am I not better to you than all the children in the world? Basically, like, why are you so sad because you have no children? You have me. Like, he really loved her a lot, and he would do anything in the world for her. You could tell by the way this is written. But it's... I don't want to go into all of that. But it's like it's written... If you're looking for an argument, you would say that's so selfish of him, and he's a guy. Like, it's some stuff that women go through that men just don't understand. And they try to comfort, they try to console, but it's like they just don't get it because they're not a woman. During this time period, women were seen as worthless. They were seen as they were seen as cursed. They were seen as whatever if they could not produce children. And so it's like she's the first wife, and she has no children, but the second wife is popping out babies like Skittles. Like, I'm just saying. And it's like, how does... She's thinking about the fact that she's being tormented by the second wife and what society is looking at when they see her. And they're looking at her like, oh, you can't produce babies. You worthless. Like, he might as well just go ahead and put you to the side. You might as well be like a servant or something and just be done, because you're like, you're an old maid now. You're married, but you're like an old maid. You got no kids. Like, that's, I mean, seriously, that's what they thought about women who were not married by a certain time period. Women who didn't have children. Like, people, and I mean, honestly, that's kind of how it still is a little bit. We've gotten better. We gotten better per se, but if you really want to look at it, a lot of people are looking at women who are single and not married by like at least 30. It's still that taboo thing. It's still that, oh well, she doesn't have any kids, there's something wrong with her. I actually saw a video where somebody, like, this man said that, I don't know what kind of event it was. It looked like they were at some kind of, like, comedy thing or whatever. And they were taking questions from the audience. And he was like, my daddy always told me that a woman who's not married by whatever, is something wrong with her. And this woman got up to respond, and she said, you tell your daddy. Like, she was like, you tell your daddy. And I was like, whoa. And it was hilarious to me. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is that's making all that noise, that worry, worry noise. Is that this? Y'all, this is so... Oh, it's my computer. Okay. I got this computer last week, so I'm still, like, trying to learn. And I'm like, what's that worry noise? I was getting scared. I was like, hold up. Why is it worrying? Okay. My bad. So, anyway, yeah, there's still that stigma that follows women. Y'all, people, I wrote a poem one time. Oh, y'all, I wrote a poem. I can't even, what is that poem called? I'm pulling everything out. Phone about to die. Blessed be. What did I name that poem? It's called... All They See. And in that poem, I talk about that. Like, oh, I must have aged out. Like, because nobody's asking me about when are you getting married. Nobody's asking me about when you're going to have some kids. Nobody says that stuff to me anymore. And so I was, it's like you get, being single, you get really, I know for me, I get so annoyed at some certain points in my life. I was so annoyed with people asking me when you getting married. It's like, do y'all not have any other questions for me? Like, how's school going? Like how's school going? How was your midterm? How were your finals? Like, you, when do you graduate? No, it was never that. It was like, when are you getting married? Like, when are you? And so then I noticed after I turned 35, like from 35 to now, because I'm 39 now, it's like barely anybody asks me when I'm getting married. And when I wrote that poem, that's what I wrote about. Oh, so y'all don't ask me when I'm getting married and having kids anymore. Y'all don't care. I guess I must have aged out. You know, y'all must have given up hope on me. So if y'all gave up hope for me, then am I supposed to give up hope for myself? Like, it's kind of like that. Because it's like, we have a stigma that women should be married and with children by a certain age. And I think we do each other such a disservice when it comes to marriage and children, because it's God's timing for everything. God's timing trumps everything that goes on. God is judge. He puts down one, sets up another. Proverbs 75, 6 through 7. Like, he is in control of everything. So being that God is in control of everything, maybe we should stop asking women who are still single without children, when are you getting married and when are you having children? Maybe we should just keep our mouth shut. And I know everyone has good intentions. I've caught myself saying that to some women who, you know, and I'm going to just stop myself and say, we also need to stop asking newly married people who've only been married for like 10 minutes, when are you going to have some kids? They just jumped the broom. Give them some time. And that's none of your business. It's none of your business. But in the South, I'm from Georgia. If you can't hear the accent, that's why I'm from Georgia. In the South, that's a staple question. When you, as soon as you get married, when you have some kids? Let me tell y'all right now, when the Lord sends that man of mine, when he sends him and we are at our reception, do not ask me. I'm going to tell you when you can ask me when we're going to have some kids. The first of never weary. Don't ask because we're not telling. If you ask me when we're going to have some kids, I'm going to say something that I'm going to have to probably repent. Like, it's none of your business. Like, you're basically asking how many times are we going to have sex before we pop out a child. How am I supposed to know that? How am I supposed to know that? Won't you go talk to the Lord about our business in our bedroom? That's it. Okay, I'm going to get off my soapbox. because that's literally how it feels. And y'all tell me in the comments, y'all tell me in the comments or whatever, like, send me an email or something. We'll talk about it. We'll chop it up. But, like, that's how it feels. And so, Hannah is getting, and then it's like, to drive the knife even deeper, not only do you have society looking at you sideways during this time, but you can't even get no peace in your home. Usually you can go into your house to escape the world. You can't even escape that. Poor Hannah. She go home and she tormented. She done went to the well to get water. Now she come home, she getting tormented by the second wife. You know, like, it's seeing all her kids running around. She ain't trying to discipline them or nothing. They knock stuff over. You cleaning stuff up. She making fun of you, talking about, they're just boys. They're boys being boys. Whatever she's saying. And there are probably people who do that to people who are waiting to have children. They do, purposely doing stuff. Like, who really made you that evil to, like, who hurt you, like, for you to torment somebody like that? You know what I'm saying? And Hannah's being tormented. Her husband's trying to figure out, because men are natural problem solvers. They want to fix the problem. And he sees it's a problem. He's like, well, I'm here. We're married. I love you. I care about you. Like, blah, blah, blah. But Hannah is like, you do not. I don't think she was. I honestly don't know if she was telling him what was really going on, or either maybe she just stopped telling him, like, you know what? I'll just deal with it myself. Because women, we will do that. We might say it a couple of times, but after that, we ain't going to say it no more. We'll just handle it ourselves, however it need to be handled. But Hannah went to the temple, and she, it says in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow in verse 11 and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Whew, that prayer. If you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid. Not just, don't just remember me, don't forget me either. Remember me and do not forget me. It's almost like an oxymoron, because it's like, if I remember you, I didn't forget you. So how can I forget you if I remembered you? And I know for me as a human being on this earth, there are times when a thought will pop into my mind, like, oh, I need to do that. And like 2 seconds later, I forget that I needed to do that. Then I end up 3-4 hours later in the middle of something. I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot to do. I think that's where she's coming from. Like, remember me and do not forget me. And it's like, as I read that, because I'm an English teacher, by the way, like, so I love analyzing stuff and looking close at the text and things like that. And doing that with the Bible, the Holy Spirit just opens up so much. And when it's like, I can hear and feel the pain that she is going through. And honestly, I prayed a prayer like that before when I was told by the doctor, well, you're going to have to make some decisions pretty soon. Like, I pray, like, Lord, you can't, like, I ain't trying to tell you what to do, Lord, but this right here, this is hard. Like, this is hard what you putting me through right now. Like, I want to just know what's on the other side of this. Like, don't forget me, because I want to see what you about to do, because I know you're getting ready to do something like that. Like, don't forget me. Please remember me, because you said you won't forget me, because you said my name is written in the palm of your hand. But it feel like you forget me right now, because why would you allow the doctor to tell me that? You know, like, stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure there are several thousand of you, whoever listens to this, you have gone through similar experiences, or you may be getting ready to go through something like that. You may be waiting on test results to find out. You may be going through in vitro. You may be trying to find a surrogate. You may be trying to, and you're constantly questioning, God, why am I going through this? Don't you love me? Why would you make me go through this? And it is so hard, because it's so hard. And it's like, for me,
going through this season, I have to constantly remind myself, no matter what it looks like, God is good. God is not good because of what he does. He's good because that's who he is. And if it's not good, he's going to make it good. That's what I have to remind myself. If it's not good, he's going to make it good because he said all things work together for the good. All things work together for good for me. And that's all I've got. That's as far as I've gotten with that, because it's hard, because I'm in a season where I ain't got no man. I ain't got no kids. And it's to the point where my students make up men for me to date. My seniors, I love them. I love them so much. They'll probably find me on YouTube and go, oh, it's my teacher. Y'all, like my students, they make up these imaginary men for me to date, and they have a whole storyline. They're like, oh, Miss Cooper broke up with that one today. Miss Cooper, why you broke up with so-and-so? And I'm sitting there like, what are you talking about? I'm not dating anybody. Miss Cooper, yes, you was. You broke up with him. Now, she broke up with him so she could date so-and-so. And I'm like, you know what? Whatever helps y'all sleep at night, let's roll with it. You know, like, whatever is going to help you get an A in my class, which that's not it. Making up stories about me is not it. So, I love them. But, it's to that point. And I don't know. I had a group of kids, my students from last semester, they were like, Miss Cooper, can you just go ahead and have a baby so we can see you being a mom, because you're going to be a great mom. And although that was like totally random and unwarranted, I understand where they're coming from. I get it, because it's like, Miss Cooper, you are smart. You have a job. You would be a great mom. You remind me of my auntie. You remind me of my mama. You know, like, why aren't you with somebody? Why aren't you dating someone? Why aren't you married? Why doesn't anybody want to marry my teacher? Why? She's a great person. You know, like, because it's not time. It's not time. And if you try to go out of time, it's going to be wrong. Even if it's with the right person, it's still going to be wrong. And I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that for my life. I don't want that for my children, you know, because ultimately the woman decides who she wants to be with. You know, if you think about it, like, we women, we literally choose who we want our husbands to be, who we want the children, our children's father to be. We have a choice, pretty much for the most part. I understand there are some circumstances. Now I'm getting to that, but for the most part, like, that's up to us. We get to decide, you know, and it's so much. But anyway, back to the main point, what I was trying to get to. I had to build up context. Verse 19 of the same chapter says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So that's really the core scripture I wanted to get to, was 1 Samuel 1 and 19. The thing is, I love this because it's almost like it gives you a recipe. And I'm being careful with that because it's like, okay, there are a couple of scriptures in the Bible that tell us to get up early. Like, I rise up early to seek your face and things like that. And honestly, I believe everybody has a prayer time to spend with the Lord. I believe he actually assigns us prayer time. Mine is between 3 and 6. Mine is between 3 and 6. It was 5, but then the Lord promoted me to 4 o'clock. And sometimes I wake up at 3:30. Now, I will wake up to shut the alarm off. Now, the 4 o'clock shift, my body has gotten trained and used to that, even though I kind of pushed the time back to 4:20. I'm going to do better. That 3:30 time, but that's my scheduled prayer time. And when I get up and do what I'm supposed to do, it is such a blessing. And that's how I know that's the time I'm supposed to pray. And you know what? It can shift. He may move me to a different time. But I do believe everybody has a specific time period they're supposed to be praying to the Lord. However, I do also know several places in the Bible where it speaks about rising up early to pray and seek God's face. And this scripture is one of those scriptures. It says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. And I believe that is such an important time to worship, because it's setting your day. You are starting your day seeking God's face. You're covering your family. You're covering your job, covering your children, like you're covering every base, waking up in the morning and starting your day with the Lord. And I believe he honors that. Not that he doesn't honor any other time to pray, but it's a sacrifice to wake up. I remember at my church, we used to do fourth watch prayer. Y'all, I work in a music ministry, so that means I had to get there before everybody. So I was getting to church at 2:15, 2:30 in the morning. And then we stay until 6, like, in the morning. But I believe the Lord honors that, because it's a sacrifice to give up sleep, especially, like, if you work more than one job, or if you work more than one job and you have children, oh my goodness, I believe that's a big sacrifice, because you need all the sleep you can get. But I do believe the Lord honors that. And I'm going to tell you, when he started shifting me to 4 o'clock in the morning, I was like, I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm missing sleep. I got to be ready for work. Y'all, I was late to work every single time until I started waking up at 4. It was like, oh, you need to sleep, get to work. Okay, how about you late? How about you late to work? And I was every single time. I was late every single time. So it's like, sacrifice that. Give it up. If he's waking you up early like that, you waking up on your own, like, start praying. Ask the Lord, what does he need from you? You'll be very surprised, because he's going to answer. He's going to show up and he's going to answer. And also, I believe that's tithing. You giving up the beginning part of your day. The Lord wants the first thing, like 10%. You know, I believe 10% of your day is 2 hours, 2.4 hours, because we got 24 hours in a day. And I'm not saying you got to spend 2.4 hours with the Lord at one time, but I do believe waking up early in the morning like that, giving him the very first part of your day, is considered a tithe. Because it's coming off the top of your day. So it says, they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. Now, came to their house to Ramah. Ramah actually means in the Hebrew, an elevated place. I looked it up on Google so I can sound smart. The first definition is an elevated place. It says a place that is literally or figuratively elevated, possibly a fortified location or a place of prominence, which is very, I don't want to say ironic or coincidental. It's very purposeful, because God is our strong tower where the righteous run into when they are safe. He sets us up in our high places. Like, it's so many verses, but I do not believe that's a coincidence that their house to Ramah. It didn't say their house in Ramah. It says their house to Ramah. And so if we look up the preposition to, expressing motion in the direction of a particular location, approaching or reaching. So to express motion in a direction, that means their direction was going up. Their direction was going up. They were going up to an elevated place. Because when you go to worship God, you have to go up. If you look in, I can't remember where it was, but it was about Hezekiah. Hezekiah got a letter from somebody who said, basically, we about to beat y'all up. And your God ain't real. He ain't nothing, blah, 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 blah. Hezekiah went up to the temple and laid the letter out before God. He laid the scroll out before God and said, hey, you got to fix this. But he had to go up. Jonah. Jonah Oh, man, that one. It says he went down from the presence of the Lord. See, when you leave the presence of the Lord, you go down. But when you go into the presence of the Lord, you go up. And so it says they went to their house, to Ramah. They went to their house, to Ramah. So they went to an elevated place. So they, because, and I honestly believe it's because they sought God first. Because, and it says they rose up in the morning. It didn't say Elkanah rose up in the morning. It didn't say Hannah rose up in the morning. It says they rose up in the morning. They were in agreement. They were in agreement with one another. And they worshiped before the Lord in agreement. See, you got to have agreement when you come in the presence of the Lord. That's why a lot of these places, I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to say anything. A lot of, y'all, it's Saturday night. Let me tell you something. A lot of places, a lot of people going to some places tomorrow, they're not in agreement. That's why the service is cold. That's why y'all can play them drums as much as you want to and hit them chords. I don't care. The Holy Spirit ain't there. I don't know what spirit is there, but the Holy Spirit ain't there because there's no agreement. Y'all done kicked Jesus out. Let's just be honest. If there's no agreement, in the presence of the Lord, there has to be agreement. If there is no agreement, just saying. So it says, and Elkanah knew Hannah. Knew in this sense means in an intimate way. They were co-opulating. Okay? And he knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord showed up for Hannah and he opened that door for her. He opened that door for her and allowed her to conceive. And she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And Hannah and Elkanah had more children later on after Samuel. But Samuel, once again, he was the very first son, very first child she had. She promised God, the child you give me, the son you give me, I'm going to give him back to you. Her tithe. Samuel was her tithe. And the Lord blessed her to have more children later on. She says in verse 27, when she was talking to Eli, who was in charge of the temple, she says in verse 26, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Why am I reading this verse? Why am I dedicating this episode to women who, like me, may have been told, like, you're going to have to make a decision pretty soon. You're 39, you know, blah, 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 blah. When clearly Google tells me childbearing years go to 44, 45 years old, depends on your health and all of that good stuff. Like, why am I sitting here telling us that we need to ask the Lord to remember us? Ask the Lord to, because there are women who may have gone through cancer treatments. There are women who may have had their reproductive systems taken out. There may be women who, for whatever reason, they cannot bear children. They may want to be mothers. They may want and desire that for themselves, and they have yet to see it. And they are tired of hearing people constantly telling them, oh, it'll happen for you, just wait. Or you just not there. You know, you just, maybe you just need to focus on the Lord more, and you're already on your face before the Lord 23/7. Like, you know, like, it's like, what more do I have? Honestly, stop seeing it like a checklist that you have to check on. I used to see it like a checklist, and it was like, okay, I did this, I did that, I did that, so where's my reward? And I had to, and the Lord is still working on me. People are not a checklist. Blessings are not a checklist. walking with Christ is not a checklist. There is no right or wrong with this. There is no, let me scratch that. There is no map. There's not, the only map we have, which is the only map we need, is the Word of God. And that map sometimes is like, man, I'm reading it. I know walk by faith, not by sight. I know that, but it's dark. I can't see the map no more. It's dark. Like, what? It's nighttime. I know joy comes in the morning, but where? Isn't the sun supposed to be coming over the horizon in a couple of minutes? Like, I've been in the dark for, I feel like, 15 years. It's like that sometimes on this walk. And it's like, bruh, when is this going to be over with? And I know for me, I have a real bad habit of, like, I'm praying and asking God to please just help me, because I want to skip to the next thing. I want to skip to the next part. I want to just, okay, yeah, I want to go ahead and get to the next part. I want to rush through the process. You can't rush through a process. And this is just for me. It's like, for women who are struggling, who desire motherhood, who desire to be married, it's hard. It's no way to make it short, simple, and sweet. It's hard. It is hard. And I know it's a lot of people who will probably get on here and like, that's fine. God bless you. It's hard. It's hard when you know that you could send a text and whatever, woo-woo. You know, it's hard when you know you could do whatever you want to do, but you're not, because, you know, it's like when you think about what you could do, but you compare it with how far you come, it's like, I'm not willing to come down to out of the presence of God. That is, I'm not willing to come down. Like, I done left the presence of God so many times. Like, it ain't worth it. So then it's like, okay, so I'm choosing to do the right thing and walk this out, you know, but I'm not seeing it, because it's like, you know. And it's like, it's not a rewards-based system. God is going to reward me if I abstain from fornication, if I abstain from sex until I get married, God is going to reward. It's not a reward thing. You choose him because you love him and you don't want to hurt him, because the Bible tells us every time we sin, we're crucifying God, we're crucifying Christ afresh. Like, he feels that all over again. Like, you, it's like, it's so... And then also realizing that your life is not looking the way you thought it was supposed to look in your head. That's been the hardest thing for me, is letting go of what I thought my life was going to look like. Like, for those of you who are just joining me, who have never heard my podcast or never heard my testimony, I was molested when I was a little girl. When I went to college, I was like, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to graduate at 22, get married at 24, start having kids at 26, and be done by 30. You know, have my two-story house, picket fence, wrap-around picket fence, 2.5 kids, a dog, cat, and a goldfish, whatever. My husband's going to be fine. He's going to be taller than me, blah, 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 because I'm 6 feet tall, and I need somebody tall, because, you know, what, woo-doo-woo, okay? When I was sitting in my graduation, undergrad, with my first degree, at 23 years old, I knew it was going to be a problem. I said, I'm off schedule. I was like, off schedule. This ain't going to work. And, you know, about 16 years later, here I am, still single, with no children. And this year has been the unraveling, I guess, of what I thought my life was supposed to look like. I've been making myself sit with that, because it's been hard. It's really hitting me this year. I know a lot of women talk about having that midlife crisis when they were 30. I didn't have that when I was 30. I was like, woo, party, just getting started. Hey, you know, like, but this year, 39, I'm like, almost 40. Like, I could see 40. I could see 40 trying to turn on the street. Like, whoo, I wouldn't. It's like you just, I don't know. I thought I'll be in a different place at almost 40 than I am now. And it's just not what I imagined. It's not what I pictured for myself. But it's having to deal with that. And honestly, when I go into my classroom and I see my students and I hear how they discuss me, like not discuss, but discuss me, they talk about me and stuff, and not in a bad way. They just, you know, just talking about who I am and what I do and stuff like that. I realize this was all divine appointments. It took me forever to pass my teacher certification test because of test anxiety, which I didn't know I had until after the fact. And when I did pass it, I felt like I missed so much. But because, you know, I wanted to start teaching high school right out of college, and I realize now there's no way I would have been successful. There's no way, because I am a kid at heart. There is no way. And I would have been playing, you know, not being serious and stuff, and would have probably gotten fired. But there is a reason why I'm here. I think about the students I've had in the past. I think about the students I have now. And I'm like, I'm here for them. The Lord already had it set that he was going to have me teaching these students. So before, when I was in that time period of failing test after test after test and crying and asking God, why am I not passing the test? Why do you have me here? Now I realize it was a delay. It wasn't a denial. It was a delay. It wasn't a denial. It's almost like when you have to yield. It's like when you have to yield, you still gonna go. You just gotta wait until the other car passes by. Because if you go right then, you're gonna crash. You know, like if you get the crossing guards come down to let the train pass, you gonna go. You're going to get to your destination. You just got to pause for a minute. And that's really what it was. And so now I can look back and see that's why I couldn't get in at that time. Because I wouldn't have been teaching these children. I would have never, the children that I have taught, I completely believe, there is no doubt in my mind, that the Lord handpicked those children for me to teach. Because there is something in me that they needed to have. There's something in them that I needed to have. Those kids, let me tell you, I have had a year or two where I had nothing but boys. It was just a bunch of boys, maybe like three or four girls in the class. And I'm like, is this what being a boy mom is like? Because God bless you. Okay, God bless you. All they do is eat. All they do is eat. I have a student who's like 16 feet. And he has, like, food in one hand and food in the other hand asking me if I have snacks. Baby, go sit down. It's like, and then if I have food, if I'm just trying to eat a little snack because I'm starving, they all rush up to my desk. Like, is this what having boys is like? Because I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous. But, yeah, these children that I teach, if I would have started teaching when I started, or if I would have just gave up and not done it, we would have missed each other. And so I'm grateful that I can see how God lined everything up for me to be here for these babies, my big babies. And I'm grateful. And I know that's not any consolation for having to go through what you've gone through or dealing with the emotions and the questions. But all I can say is for any woman who is still sitting in singleness, who maybe trying to figure out what the next steps are for her when it comes to having children. All I can say is that God's plan is going to work out through your life if you continue to trust him, if you continue to walk with him. That's the thing. You got to keep walking with him, because the discouragement comes and it will discourage you to the point where you don't even want to talk to the Lord. You don't even tell the Lord everything you feel. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how it makes you feel that this is going on and that's going on. Tell him, because he already knows, but that's how that relationship develops, is when you actually pour your heart out to him. He wants you to be open and honest with him. Like, I'm mad that I'm here and I'm still single. Why am I still single? I'm a good woman. I have two jobs. Blah, 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 blah. And I do the best I can. I just want to cook for somebody and feed them. I'm tired of cooking food and it go to waste because it's just me. Like, whatever the case may be. Lord, I really want kids. And it's like, you don't want me to have kids. Why don't you want me to have kids? But you've been giving me dreams that I'm going to have children. What is going on? I don't understand. You know, and you can go and be honest with him about that. It is hard. It's hard. And it's like, sometimes you feel like you're on a roller coaster and you don't know where you're going. You don't know if you're about to get flipped upside down. You don't know if you're about to be turned around, spun around. You don't know. It's scary sometimes. But all I do know is that he is the God of the impossible, and he is faithful to perform that he has promised. What he has promised. He is faithful to perform what he has promised. You just have to trust him. And I know that sounds very cliche, trusting God, but trusting God to do good. That's all I got. Trusting God to do good. And he'll work it out for you better than you can ever imagine. And this is coming from somebody who has yet to see what he has promised me. He has promised me some stuff, and I'm like, where is that? Where is that? And it's like, but all I do know, as long as I still have breath in my body, he is going to fulfill what he has promised me. He is. He's going to do it. And I believe him and I trust him. But the time is long. And I hope that I did not just ramble a whole bunch, but I feel like I did. I just want to tell y'all, thank y'all so much for tuning in. Thank you for joining me this time. Check out my YouTube page. Check out, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. All of the platforms. Email me, blessedisshethatbelieved@gmail.com. Check out my website. So this was fun. First episode on YouTube, first live episode on YouTube, and I got to use my microphone stand. So I will talk to y'all later. Once again, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Mother, or you are a mother to someone. You are a bonus mom to someone. Prayers and hearts to those who may have lost a mother. I have some friends who've lost their mothers recently within the past couple of years. And I pray. And I pray God comforts your heart with his peace and his love. So I love y'all, and I will talk to y'all later. Bye. I'm not the one who's always right.